In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Each time we read the history of Karbala, we gasp for breath while counting down the days of Ashura. We always hope that history would be changed and humanity would be acknowledged before it happens, hoping the world would become a pure and a proud and honorable place rather than being trampled over ignorance, insecurity, and secularism. Over and over, we are filled with regret. It is as if history is being formed once, and that time is now. And whatever is before and after that belongs to history. It is worthy to call every day Ashura and everywhere Karbala, so we can take lessons from those times and become a companion of Imam Hussein. It is painful to talk and hear about Karbala, but more painful is to think and understand Karbala. And can one believe that the dignity and humanity and chastity of Imam Hussein's appearance were hidden from the majority of the people? Also, the pure nature of the human being, which easily accepts Imam Hussein, would be all thrown away. For the worldly aspirations that will never be reached. Imam Hussein was ready for death and martyrdom, but he made every attempt to stop bloodshed. He sent messengers to Umar ibn Sa'd and called him up for a discussion. It has been said Imam Hussein had told him, "Shame on you, the son of Sa'd. Aren't you fearful of God, the one who you will return to? Do you want to fight with me? Well, you know me and my decency. Join me, and God will be very pleased with you." Umar ibn Sa'd said, "I'm afraid Ubaydullah might destroy my house." Imam Hussein answered, "I will reconstruct it for you." Umar said again, "I'm afraid Ubaydullah might confiscate all my belongings." Imam Hussein said, "I will give you better belongings of my own and make up for your losses." Umar said, "I'm afraid about my household." Imam Hussein turned back and said, "God will send someone and slaughter you while you're asleep. And on the day of judgment, you won't be supported. And as long as you live, you won't make any benefit in the lands of Iraq." History has mentioned several times of such discussions between Imam Hussein and Umar ibn Sa'd. Later on, Umar ibn Sa'd sent a letter to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad.
Duties he did not neglect, abandoned hopes to protect the faith that he did respect through sacrifice. Though a youth with high prospects, duties he did not neglect, abandoned hopes to protect the faith that he did respect through sacrifice.
He said, "Verily, God has extinguished the fires of hell and alleviated the pain and distress and reformed this nation. For Hussein have concluded a contract with me, which he is going to do this. He's either going to return to wherever he came from. Or he is going to go to one of the border lines and act as a Muslim there and do what's for the benefit of all Muslims. And three, go to Syria, to Yazid, and do whatever he wants to do there. Your satisfaction and reformation of your nation is laid on this contract. In this suggestion, both sides approved on, and sympathy was obviously being held. Yet, when it was recited in Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad's assembly, Shimr ibn Zilchoshan stood up, and to incite Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad's egotism and governmanship, he said, "Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, Hussein is in your lands, and it's yours to grab. Do not listen to these words. If he leaves this land without committing allegiance with you and Yazid, he will become forceful and successful. But if you get him and his companions to your command, you can submit to your judgment. You can punish them if you see it right, or you can overlook them. Either way, you would be honored by credit and glory." Shimr's ridiculous words actually pleased Ibn Marjana. So he sent Shimr to Umar ibn Sa'd, with him carrying a letter and telling him that, "Go and bring Imam Hussein and his companions to me to pass a verdict. If they reject, fight with them." It was obvious that if Umar ibn Sa'd didn't obey this, Shimr would cut off his head and bring it to Ubaydullah. In this letter, it was told to Umar ibn Sa'd, "I have not sent you to Hussein to evade a war, nor did I send you to wish his vitality and make an excuse on his behalf. Go and bring Hussein and his companions to me. If they reject, attack them, kill them, and then cut them into pieces. After they're dead, run over their bodies with your horses. If you obey this command, I will reward you for your obedience. But if you disobey, leave off our army and give your position to Shimr." After Umar finished reading the letter, he turned to Shimr and said, "You fool, you have ruined everything I had planned for. You know, Ali ibn Abi Talib, blood is moving inside Hussein ibn Ali's veins. His honesty, his humanity will never abandon himself to nobody and would abjectness. Shimr told Umar ibn Sa'd, "What are you going to do now? Are you going to leave the army to me, or are you going to comply with the commander's orders?" Yazid, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, Shimr, and Umar ibn Sa'd were all in the same group, with wolfish personalities. They were so wicked that it made the wolves cry when they were attributed to them. It was very ordinary for them to fight to gain power. So Umar ibn Sa'd grabbed the ruling of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad's army and proved to the servants of this world and passion and power that he is attached to this world. Besides, later on, he will only reach selfishness, and there is no room for the people who worship God.
Adam began life with plan to triumph, to make something of his time here. Asim began life with plan to triumph, to make something of his time here. He could all but see future destiny, his wishes and dreams in this world. But the atmosphere turned tense, abandoned hopes to protect the faith that he did respect. Through sacrifice, though a youth with high prospects, duties he did not neglect. Through sacrifice.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. Over the last 5 nights, we tried to explain some of the key elements of what caused the Imam Salamullah alayh to make his move and to bring his family and companions to the plains of Karbala, and to allow him and all the men in that camp to be slaughtered brutally. To make this talk more beneficial for all of us, I would like to explain some of the traits that the people had that caused them to participate on the day of Ashura, not on the camp of Imam al-Hussein salamullah alayh, but let them end up on the opposite camp, and for them to be the ones who forever will be damned for the sin of slaughtering the grandson of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are numerous traits that one could talk about. I will pick a few and discuss them. Tonight, I would like to discuss one of the most important traits, one of the most ugly traits a human being can have that would cause them to do such a thing, that would cause them to ask their Imam to come, that would cause them to ask Imam al-Hussein salamullah alayhi to come to Kufa, but on the other hand, for them to go to Karbala, not to help, but to kill the Imam. This is a trait that humanity and religions have suffered the most through. It's called an-nifaq, hypocrisy. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam struggled with people with this trait, the hypocrites, the munafiqs, more than he did with the kafirs. For the munafiqs were in his camp. They were in Medina. They lived with him. They portrayed themselves as Muslims. But when time came, they betrayed. They are the people that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, they claimed that they were following him. But as soon as he passed away, they decided to go against his words. They are the ones that Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi dealt with, and they were the toughest. Amir al-Mu'mineen have to deal with them. After he became the Khalifa as well as before, when he was in charge of government, they were again the toughest. He would portray them, he would try to tell people that these people are not believers. They would not accept. In Safin, when Amir al-Mu'mineen had brought his army from Kufa to go against the enemy, who had started the war with Amir al-Mu'mineen and was not accepting Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib as the Khalifa, when they were winning the battle, the enemy put up Qur'ans on the spears and said that we are Muslim. That was a type of nifaq on that camp, in that camp, but also on Amir al-Mu'mineen side as well. There were some who knowingly went against what Amir al-Mu'mineen said. They knew that those people were not truly Muslim. They knew this before they came. They already knew that those people read Qur'an. They seemingly believe in the Holy Qur'an, but in practice, they're not practicing the Holy Qur'an, which is why they're not accepting Amir al-Mu'mineen as the Khalifa. Yet, they propagated, and they were the propaganda machine of the enemy on the camp of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and that's what caused Amir al-Mu'mineen not to be able to defeat the enemy at that point. When Imam Hassan salamullah alayh came to power, the people that he had to deal with, those who caused the defeat, those who caused him to accept the truce, were the munafiqeen, people that were on his camp, even commanders of his army. But when time came, they went to the other side. This is a very dangerous trait, brothers and sisters. It's something that we want to make sure we don't have any of. We know that a similar test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is approaching us. The 12th Imam, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif, will be rising. We will have a similar test. We want to make sure that we don't have this trait in us, so that as those who called on Imam Hussein, who told him to come, told him that our trees have got fruits on them, told him that we are ready for you to come. And when he came, they went to fight him. We want to make sure we don't call on the 12th Imam, and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten his reappearance, and then when he comes, we tell people, no. But when he calls on us, we say no, and we reject that call. Nifaq is a very dangerous trait. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to stay away from this trait. This trait can be caused by numerous ways. It creeps into people. It's not something that people would like to do and would like to have from the beginning. If you talk to anyone, they will say that hypocrisy is not a good trait. So what happens is that some end up with that trait. As I will mention tomorrow night, some of the verses and some hadith about what causes this trait. For tonight, I would like to mention only one verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهِ لَإِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ بَخِلُوا بِهِ وَتَوَلَّوا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. There are those who promise that if Allah gives us, we will give charity. But when they are given, When Allah blesses them, they do not give. And then Allah says, فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يَلْقَوْنَهُ بِمَا أَخْلَفُ اللَّهِ مَا وَعَدُوهُ. Allah would put nifaq in their hearts until the Day of Judgment because they went against what they had promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we make an oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should not break that oath. Allah says in His book that this breaking of the oath will cause nifaq. We may break small oaths like this one. We say that if Allah gives me a daughter or a son, I will give charity. But when I am given and I am granted that blessing, I reject. This is may not look like a very huge oath, but it will cause a nifaq, a hypocrisy, that we will end up breaking an oath that the effect of it is much greater than that. Like those who broke their oath with the Imam. 18,000 people pledged allegiance with Muslim ibn Aqil as the representative of the Imam. And on Karbala, in Karbala, when the Imam came, some of those were on the opposite side, and the others stayed in Kufa and did not come to help the Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us stay away from this trait. We ask Him to please, if there's any of this trait in us, please get rid of it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.